Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion tonight about the Sister-to-Sister Sorority Luncheon, focusing on health and wellness. That event is coming up on Saturday, June 17th at the Greenbelt Marriott in Greenbelt, Maryland, open to all members of the great four sororities, Alpha Kappa Alpha, Delta Sigma Theta, Zeta Phi Beta, Sigma Gamma Rho, an opportunity not only to rebond in the sisterhood, but to also focus on some very critical issues regarding health and wellness and the intimacy of those really, really important issues. Joining me now in studio is Dori Scott. She is publisher of Virginia Women's Magazine. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta. She's also a psychotherapist. And continuing with us is Dr. Gloria Ivy Crowe. She's an OBGYN and member of Delta Sigma Theta. We're going to answer any questions that you have. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dori, good to see you. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Glad to be back.
Thank you so much. Let's first talk to you about one of the biggest buzz issues as it relates to everyone, but particularly black women as it relates to stigma and stereotype and mental health. What do you think is the main message from a psychotherapist's point of view for black women and mental health?
We've got to let go the issue of we can't tell people our business. And I think a lot of it comes from the community, the culture that we come from. And so we hold it inside. We're overachievers, often speaking. And what we do is we don't want people to know what's going on with us because we've learned those lessons from our mothers and grandmothers.
So how do you do that?
We begin to trust. Mostly we begin to trust ourselves. And we go to the Dr. Ivy Crowe's in our community. And she recognizes it and lets us know it is okay to tell someone, it ain't right. I'm broke inside.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Crowe, same question for you, because one of the things, and we kind of joked about it off air, but it is a very critical health, particularly for women of a certain age when it comes to sexual health. Talk to me about some of the things that you're working on and that you will be discussing at this event coming up.
There won't be enough time at the luncheon to discuss all that I need to discuss about sexual health.
And certainly we're going to talk about it right at lunch.
Absolutely. Yes,
just pass me
but
the potatoes.
But one great thing is we've got a lot of options that women didn't have in the past.
What do you mean by that?
From just routine sort of things. We all only used to have lubrication sort of things. That's all. But now we've got lasers. We've got vaginal rejuvenations. We've got G-spot shots. We can enhance and blow up that G-spot. So it can be touched. Sexual therapy is important. It's a stressor for women who at a later age in life are having some issues, some performance issues. But we've got options. We can do vaginal rejuvenation where we can make the vaginal area have more secretions. We can do a shot to blow up the G-spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we can just to spend some time kind of when I'm in the office with women is just trying to help them understand their sources of stress and how it relates back to their libido, fertility, and other areas.
Which brings me to a great point. And I'm so glad that Dori is here, because before you deal with what's happening down below, you have to deal with what's happening up above. When it comes to, for example, sexual health, intimate health for women, whether they be of a certain age, what kind of conversations do women need to have with themselves about that?
We need to recognize that we're changing and that in our 30s, we're one way, in our 50s, we're another way, in our 60s, even another way. My mother didn't talk about menopause. Now, when I get together with my girlfriends, if I'm having that moment, she might just pat my head because she knows what I'm going through, which is the beginning of being open about things have changed.
Mm-hmm. Are women missing something in 2017 when it comes to having that conversation? Obviously, there's so much information out there about mental health, about sexual health, about wellness And I'm not talking about mental illness here, but I'm just talking about wellness and how they feel about themselves. Because, again, how you feel between your ears is directly related to what's going on between your legs.
I think we're just trying to do too much still. What do you think, Dr.
I still think that a lot of what we fight against is our cultural beliefs, our religious beliefs, that once a woman can get past some of those myths that she has, it opens the door for conversation. I'm very upfront and talk to my patients about any sort of issues that they may have. And a lot of times, like Harold has said, it starts in your head, because when you have issues with stress, anything going on mental health wise, non-mental health wise, then those things tend to go over into other areas. You stop being sexual. You stop giving your partner attention. So those things tend to swell over into other areas. So it's very important that you recognize that something is going on, or at least the people around you feel safe enough and open enough to be able to share, talk to you about what's going on, and then to try to find some options. Because we've got different options that we have, but we talk more. This is a generation that Generation X is very comfortable with their bodies. They talk about things a lot more. But once again, if we can get past some of those myths and religious beliefs of how we were raised not to talk about different things, not to talk about period things, not to talk about women and these sort of things, then we can start to heal and get better with some things.
Dory, how would you? No, go right ahead.
I've seen it change too. When I started my career as a psychotherapist some 20 plus years ago, we did a program with synagogues and churches in the community to get people to be comfortable talking about mental health issues, because we've tended to hide those things. So that's very different. I also think spending time with people like me, my sorors, my church members, because many churches are now saying, we have a therapist in the church. Your minister brings your spirituality piece. Now you've got people in the churches saying, let's bring the mental health piece. And they're bringing in therapists who are qualified to do this in the church community, which is really opening up a whole new door.
How would you define wellness, particularly for the modern Black woman? And what kind of conversation at the luncheon would you engage in when you're trying to bring the issue of wellness into focus?
That it's not about being, and I want to say this in a very positive way, we don't have to be the skinny chick. We look different. We eat differently. It's okay to have a little bump in the back. It's okay to have a little few pounds on our waist, because we are shaped differently. And learning to accept our greatness, our beauty, is how we look, how we wear our hair, wearing our hair naturally, all of those things. It's about feeling good from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. But is there something that you would want them to take away from a discussion like this? Because as you said, whether it's body image, whether it is one's spiritual image, whether it's one's thought about health, how would you characterize moving them beyond what we hear every day?
You know, Harold, this is truth talk. I'm going to share with the women that I've fought my own issues of depression. Because on the outside, it looks so good. We look at very successful, accomplished women, and we say, what is she doing? How is she doing it? How did she get there? How I got there was by breaking down so I could build myself up. And I've had great women who've came to rescue me in my own issues around depression. I think that's what people need to hear. Not that we've had these perfect lives, but successful women saying, look, let me tell you how I got here. And it was not a pretty picture.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And it's also really that the wellness component is not just a physical thing. It's emotional. It's a lot of components to it. It's just not I want to look good. I want to be in a size, as you said. It's about knowing that you've got to get that head together. You've got to have the right thinking. You want women to feel empowered, to be able to feel like they can reach out, to be not fearful, to be able to share those tidbits of things that have happened, to be able to know that the next person may have experienced the same sort of thing. So wellness, a well-rounded person is well, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally as well.
How do you get women from your perspective, even though, you know, obviously you're an OBGYN, but certainly overall health. And I don't just mean wellness, but I mean overall health, and having a different perspective is so important. We hear so much about weight, eating better, and yet there are so many, you know, black women generations that are still struggling with doing the right thing as far as their health is concerned.
So what I do is I supply material in the office, but a lot of the times what I try to do on a regular basis is to do video talk. I write articles, women to women, to try to broach subjects that people don't always feel so comfortable to talk to their doctors about. But I also do some videos to do some down straight talking to people to talk about the topics that they don't want to talk about, but they really need the information. So I use the Facebook as a live as a vehicle to be able to share videos and information. And also when they're in office, to be able to just take a few moments and just sit down and just to try to get a feel for my patient to see, so what else is going on? Let's just talk. We're not here to talk shop first. Let's just talk about you. What's going on with you? And to tune in when they're walking in that door and just trying to get a feel or a vibe. What's going on? Are they depressed? Are they sad? Is something going on? How's your libido? So I'm talking all those general sort of things before I even get to the exam part of it.
What is the thing that they seem to struggle most with?
Most of them seem to struggle with trying to be superwoman and do everything. To also feel like they want to, because women don't like to talk about libido issues at all. But what I find is a lot of women are coming in, they're sad, they're tired, they're fatigued, and all of that spills over into the other parts of their personal lives, where sometimes women will come in and say, my husband wanted me to share with you and tell you, see if anything is wrong. There's nothing wrong. You're experiencing what the average woman experiences from working a 12-hour shift, doing everything. It's okay to have those feelings. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's what I get a lot of, is women feeling like they really need to be able to share and talk a lot more than they're doing.
You mentioned something interesting. You said that, you know, a patient will come in and say, my husband wants me to share with you. For this particular event, do either of you plan on having a discussion about relating to your mate, whether it be, you know, sexually or emotionally, because one could argue that that is also a part of wellness.
Well, we've put together this program called Dory C and Dr. G. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we wanted to do is look at the top 10 questions that women should be asking each other and their doctors that we need to answer mentally and physically. So we're going to answer some of those questions from the stage the day of the luncheon.
So what are the questions?
Well, one of the things that happens is this is how it works. A woman's walking out the door and she says, oh, by the way, I had this little problem with leakage, as she's walking out the door. And Dr. Gloria will say, oh, well, let's come back in and let's talk about that.
Exactly.
The questions that are most important are the questions that come as the woman is walking out of the door, has her gown put back on. Isn't that how it works?
That's exactly
how it works. So that's one of them. So one of the questions that women have is a question about that little leakage that you have. What do I do about that? Mm-hmm. But you're embarrassed and there's some shame about asking that.
Because you speak about that. I know there's a commercial on TV now where it says how many women don't have that issue, you know, when they laugh, for example, or when their husband's chasing them around the house or whatever, you know, whatever it is. I had to throw that in.
Okay.
You know, because
I need a little more of that.
Yeah. Yes, we do. How about that? Well, on that point, I'm going to take a break. but when we come back, how to chase your mate around the house. Monologue by Dr. Gloria Ivy Crow. Delta Sigma Theta.
Loudoun County Alumni Chapter.
Okay, right. There we go.
Boy, yes. I tell you, what are they doing in Northern Virginia? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment as we continue our discussion about the Sister to Sister Sorority Luncheon coming up on June 17th. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about the Sister to Sister Sorority Luncheon focusing on health and wellness. That's, of course, coming up on June 17th at the Greenbelt Marriott. It is for the members, whether you are, you know, active or financial or not, for Alpha Kappa Alpha, Delta Sigma Theta, Zeta Phi Beta, and Sigma Gamma Rho, a sorority, a great opportunity for the women of these organizations to bond, to connect, to network, and to talk about some really critical issues, not only what's going on the inside, but, you know, what's going on the outside as well. You know, we were kind of joking about this during the break, but I think I do want to continue the discussion as it relates to women and how they relate, you know, to their mates, because I'm sure that whether they are boyfriends or, you know, or whether they're husbands or others, you know, you're going to go to this event and you're going to come home. You want them to come home better than when they left, whether it's, you know, as it relates to, you know, information. I mean, I know you're not going to be doing any surgery at this
no.
event, but
no injections, no live injections.
Yeah, you know, but you do want them to come back with some real concrete information, you know, Dory. My mother always says, you know, she said the 11th commandment is thou shalt not bore me. And I think for, you know, when you're talking about couples that have been together for a while and you get bogged down into, you know, those routines, sometimes those things can negatively impact those relationships. Will there be a discussion about reconnecting at home?
You mean like getting your freak on?
Well, let's... Well, there's that, there, you know, and certainly that is important. And so, but before we get our freak on, you've got to be willing to do that. And there's a headpiece there between the two.
Again, I think getting to know oneself, understanding what you like, who you are, what you bring to the table, what's your favorite color, what do you like to sleep in, what do you like to eat, the more you can know and get clarity about who you are, you're in a better position to give something to someone else. And not get caught up in what the rules are, but get into what the right is for you, so that you and your spouse, you and your lover, can share that time and space together in powerful ways.
And to the point about, you know, getting one's freak on, as she said, or really redeveloping a more intense, intimate relationship, Dr. Crow. What is your message, and how do you begin to have that discussion with the women so that they can have that with their mates?
That's a hard and a longer question than we have time to answer, for sure.
It's your hey, look, you have the floor. You have the floor.
It's a, you know, Dory hit upon it in the answer that she gave, but I tend to just continue as I see it from the small amount of time that I start with them when I'm in the office with them. I think that's an opportunity for them to open up. And you find that women are sometimes very fearful, even though they've been with their partners 10, 15 years, they don't feel comfortable sharing all of that information. And I still, once again, goes back to knowing who you are, feeling what you're feeling comfortable. But some of it, in some ways, they do need to talk in another non-threatening environment, not where there's any time constraints to be able to share, but to be able to take some time for themselves, but a time with their partners to be able to sit down and talk. And I think that's difficult for a lot of women. And I see that on a regular basis when I talk to women. So when my short little period of time is a chance to introduce and try to give them some ideas of maybe therapists that they may can talk to open the door to that. And then there are actual people who have hyposexual disorders. There are actually disorders.
Explain that, please.
Hyposexual disorders is a person, there's a difference in not wanting to be in having sexual intercourse because you're tired, you're fatigued, versus a person who says, all my life, I've never really had a desire for it, never been interested in it. That's a hyposexual disorder. And then a while back, probably about a year or two ago, they tried to introduce a pink pill mm-hmm. for women. Nowhere equating to the blue pill for men. I tell people they still need to go back to the drawing board, but that's more specific for that person. The person who doesn't even have the desire, let alone that they're too tired, they've worked hard, they've lost their libido. This person never really came out with a lot of libido to start.
How do you fix something like that, and how common is it?
It's more common than we think, but I don't do a lot of sexual therapy. I do some general sort of stuff, but I think it's more common than we think. And if we sat down with and talked to more women, we'd find that it's much more common than we think.
And Harold, it may also come from a woman who may have been raped. She may have post-traumatic stress disorder, or she may have had some bad incident that was not good for her.
Exactly.
So she's holding that inside of her. So, yeah, that's another thing that can happen, a life occurrence that will cause her to go into a different path.
And that's why I think it's even important when I'm doing exams, people for the first time, I am creating a space for a person for the rest of her life. If her exam is not a good exam, she will have fearful. She will be fearful of an exam. She'll be fearful of sometimes being touched. There's different reasons that all of those come around to why people have concerns and problems with that.
You mentioned earlier, this is a medical thing. This is a physiological thing. Mm-hmm. When you were talking about G-spot injections, and I want to talk also about the rejuvenation piece, too, in the time that we have. But what is a G-spot injection? Is that what you...
Right. Your G-spot is for a lot of women, that's supposed to be where we can get our big orgasm from. That's an area on the anterior upper wall of the vagina. And so it's an area that's not necessarily hit with straight intercourse. A lot of times actual changing of positions allow you to access it better. So since it's such a small area, it seems it's tend to true that you might not necessarily hit it. So what the G-spot shot will do...
No pun intended.
Exactly.
Yeah, go right ahead.
What the G-spot shot actually will do is it's a hyaluronic acid, and all it does is blows
a
hyaluronic acid.
And
that's a natural chemical that we produce in our bodies.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're not injecting anything that's foreign. So what it is an opportunity to make that area much larger. If it's much larger, I give people the analogy. If you think about the ceiling, your G-spot is in the ceiling. The room is the vaginal canal. So that ceiling is not coming into this canal. I need to do something to bring that, lower that ceiling down.
So you're talking about
access. So if I
give
it a shot. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So once I can bring that, blow up that spot, then it comes down. It's more accessible.
Mm-hmm. How frequently would someone
get that shot?
Right.
Once a year.
And
it lasts once a year.
Really?
Yes.
And you've had success with this?
Yes, this is not just us. It's been out. It's all over the country. It's been around for a long time. Women tend sometimes to be a little fearful once again because it's sexual in nature talking about it, but it's out there.
Would men know the difference pre climax for the woman?
In some cases they would, especially if they do any sort of manual manipulation. You'll be able to feel that it's a little more swollen, and then of course from her arousal they'll be able to tell that I'm hitting the spot this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a little bit different.
Yeah, we mentioned that. And the other thing, you talked about rejuvenation, and I think there's been more discussion in the mainstream and in pop culture medical discussions about vaginal rejuvenation.
Yes.
Kind of give me a OBGYN 101 about that.
All right. So let's talk about rejuvenation. Women who've had babies, a couple things happen. Physiologically and physically, that area is no longer the same once a 7-pounder, an 8-pounder comes through. So that area is a little more open or more lax. So vaginal rejuvenation is a good equipment or laser for that. Sometimes what happens is when women proceed into their 40s, and sometimes for medications, for my women who have breast cancer and can't take hormones, that area becomes very dry. It's not as lubricated. So once again, we have a laser that allows us to re-put or recreate collagen. Collagen is what we normally produce. We lose the ability to produce it as we get a little older, so therefore that has an effect on the ability to be lubricated. So if I can do a laser in there for 10 minutes, 3 treatments a month apart, and bring back your lubrication to when you're in your 20s, that's a better situation. That's a situation that causes you to maybe want to be a little bit more wanting to do it a little bit more than you've had in the past. Because fear, pain is a powerful turnoff for intercourse. Women already know if it's going to be painful, they're not going to do it. So the Thermiva laser that's out there, it's called Thermiva, T-H-E-R-M-I-V-A, is a laser that does a couple things. It does vaginal dryness. Women who have lax vaginas, it tightens the vagina. But one of the other things that's very common, Dory kind of talked about a little bit when we joked about women leaving out, is leakage. Leakage is very, very common. Women are ashamed to talk about that, but leakage can come in different forms. It can come from delivering large babies. It can come from pushing. It can come from weight. It can come from different things. But you've now got a non-surgical option to try to be able to put the laser in. And because that area is right in the same spot as the G-spot, we also find that when we use the laser, some women will have their orgasms enhanced. Mm-hmm. So Thermiva, it's a laser.
Mm-hmm. I think that is fascinating. And did you get all that?
We work together, so I hear it all the time.
I didn't know
but I'm taking lessons as we sit.
I know that you ran out of ink with your pen over there taking notes. Listen, ladies, I want to thank you both for coming in and sharing, because obviously, while this may be a large part of the sister-to-sister sorority luncheon, it will not be the only thing. And so, of course, we're going to talk about health. There's going to be a discussion about wellness. This will be an opportunity again to connect with other members of your sorority,
yes,
of the other sororities, business opportunities, business discussions, and who knows, maybe even a way to develop friendships even beyond that sorority bond. So I want to thank all of the ladies who came in to share with us. And
we still got tickets available.
That's right.
And don't forget www.sororityluncheon.com, Instagram Sister Luncheon, and Twitter Sister Luncheon 1.
And, of course, that's on June 17th at the Greenbelt Marriott. And we'll be posting that information on WHUR.com after the program, as always. And, of course, we want to thank our own Taylor Thomas for being the brainchild of this great event. So, again, ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Stay tuned, because Lorna Newton is next with The Connection. And I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.